This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey, back live. The media landscape has changed dramatically over the past half century. Legacy media, that is, radio, television, and newspapers, have had to contend with the many changes that digital technology has wrought on the world of news. Some of that has to do with hardware. People are reading on screens instead of paper, and listening on smartphones rather than radios. But there's more going on. In an age where so-called alternative facts can spread just as easily as actual facts, one major part of our societal reckoning is media literacy. That's the idea that people should be able to not just find and understand news, but also analyze its accuracy and credibility.
When Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest during an NFL game last week, a flood of misinformation took over on social media, with anti-vaxxers and conspiracy theorists falsely claiming the COVID vaccine was to blame.
The rise of misinformation surrounding the 2020 election is creating serious ongoing problems for U.S. election officials.
I'd like to welcome the fake news media, which is back there.
Scenes from an increasingly media-illiterate society. Courtesy the voice of PBS anchor Amnon Nawaz, CBS anchor Elaine Quijano, and former President Donald Trump. In an effort to address this malady, an increasing number of states are requiring students be taught about media literacy. Illinois' law on that went into effect this school year. It mandates a unit of instruction as part of public high school curricula. New Jersey went even further last month when the governor signed legislation requiring the creation of learning standards for information literacy at all grade levels, K through 12. But today we want to talk about how Illinois' approach is working out. For that, we're joined by Yanti Friesem. They're an associate professor of civic media at Columbia College Chicago. Friesem also helped write the Illinois law requiring media literacy instruction. Yanti, welcome to the 21st show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also with us is Elaine Maiman. She's an advisor for the American Council on Education. She's also a past president of Governor State University, one of my alma maters in the south suburbs of Chicago. Last week, she wrote a letter to the editor that appeared in the Chicago Sun-Times saying Illinois should follow New Jersey's lead and require instruction on media literacy in all grade levels, K through 12. Elaine, thank you for being with us as well.
Thank you, Chris. Delighted to be here.
And to look at how media literacy is being taught in Illinois schools, we're joined by two people on the ground in the world of education. Jamie Rue is library media specialist and teacher for the Providence Englewood Charter School. It's a pre-K through eighth grade school in the Chicago public school systems. Jamie, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
And we are also hearing from Chris Johnson. He teaches social studies at Rochester Middle School in Rochester, Illinois, a small town just outside Springfield. Before that, he taught 7th through 12th grade history, government, and social studies at Rova School District 208, which is based in Oneida in the northwest part of the state. Chris, thank you for being part of our conversation.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Listeners, we want to hear your questions at 800-222-9455. What do you think of the idea of teaching media literacy in Illinois schools? Give us a call. 800-222-9455 is the number. Jamie, I'm going to begin with you. Can we just start with a definition of what we mean when we're talking about media literacy and what it's meant to do?
Well, for me, media literacy is about really questioning, getting to the root of what images, what information is put at us. So media literacy at an elementary school level really basically connects to the five H's, five W's, and an H. So we may want to take out, I tend to take out the when and the where and just focus on the who, what, why, and how. So for me in elementary school, that's a part of every curriculum. So questioning is where we start with media literacy.
Yes, of all things, be skeptical, as they say. I wonder how this is. Elaine, let me bring you into the conversation. Let's talk about social media, just to use one example of some of those technology changes I mentioned in recent years. How has that highlighted the need for media literacy?
Well, Brian, social media has really made it a crisis. It's always been important for students at all levels to understand how to process information. And I think that the social media ridiculous kinds of things, you know, have basically made it so that we have to really pay attention to this. And I think one of the most important parts of media literacy is simply consider the source. If we can teach students at all levels to say, well, who says that and why? I mean, I give the example of two kindergarten children, and you know, one has just broken a vase and then tells the teacher what happened. Another child who has witnessed may tell another story. Children understand that the source of information is important. We have to promote that, clarify that, and reinforce it.
You know, let's talk about, Chris, I want to bring you into the conversation. How do young people interact with media compared to those of us who are maybe of a certain age? I mean, I'm an outlier even among those of us in our 40s. I still get a couple of paper newspapers. You can hear that delivered to me every day. How are young people interacting with media?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think an important thing to keep in mind with the way youth accesses media versus, I would say, our generation is, you know, we're more likely to go directly to that verified news source, the traditional mainstream media, be it on a newspaper or like an official media app, you know, the New York Times or Chicago Tribune or something like that, right? Where what we're finding with youth is they're much more apt to go through social media. And so they'll get their news by way of Instagram or by way of Snapchat, and may end up in the same place we are, reading the source from that traditional media, but they get it from, you know, an Instagram reel or a Snapchat story or something like that.
Yanti Friesen, I want to bring you into the conversation. Now, I mentioned that New Jersey law earlier, and it's about information literacy. We're talking about media literacy in Illinois. What's the difference there?
Thank you for bringing up and being accurate about it, because there's been a lot of different reporting. So yeah, information literacy is looking at the information and reliable sources and how you gather it and where it comes from, which evidently it's part of media literacy. Media literacy is a larger umbrella that looks also at the constructs and power and understanding what media does to us, what do we do to media, and how do we communicate with it. So beyond just looking at the information itself, it's also looking at our interaction with it and how does it, again, affect us, and where are we and other players who are trying to pull the strings and trying to benefit from it for political, monetizing, whatever reasons to do that. So that's kind of the difference. One of the big differences from the New Jersey law is also that the commissioner is one to decide on the curriculum, and then the school librarians have the burden to disseminate it into the school, while the Illinois opens up to any teachers and to look at media literacy as a pedagogy that would go into every subject matter. And it's on the school to decide how they want to teach it, in what way that really talks to their audience, which is their students and their community that they live in.
Well, that's a good setup, I think, for Chris to let me ask you, what sparked your starting teaching media literacy in your classes?
I mean, I think it's a good extension of just generally good historical thinking and research. And personally was very fascinated by the way teenagers got at media, and then how a tech savvy generation like them, who are very capable when it comes to smart devices and the internet, needed, I guess, a new set of tools and how to like evaluate sources and look at where their news is coming from. And so I just found it really interesting and, you know, kind of dove into it and got involved in learning how to do this and then hopefully teaching it effectively.
What does that actually look like in practice in the classroom?
You know, a lot of it starts with this idea of questioning, like, what is the purpose of the media you're looking at? What is the perspective of the media creator? What biases or, are they bringing to the table? And then, another big one I think that is really important in modern media literacy is just encouraging our students to begin lateral browsing. And if you're not familiar with that term, it's the idea that you need to research your source by going away from the source. So if you're on a site that you don't know, rather than just reading the about section of the site, open up a new tab and Google the website or Google the news source that you're using. Get some information from another source about the source you're going to use. Again, as a way to check that you're getting good stuff, you're not getting misleading or unreliable information.
Yeah, interesting. I'm reminded of our conversation on some of those pink slime news sites. We talked about this last year leading up to the election, a series of websites across Illinois set up by a conservative political operative that sort of look like regular news sites and call themselves regular news sites when you read the about section. But if you were to read other media on them, you would get a distinctly different perspective. Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about media literacy in Illinois. There's a new requirement this school year to teach media literacy, a unit on that to students in Illinois. We welcome your comments and questions at 800-222-9455. What does media literacy mean to you? I wonder if you've seen examples of media illiteracy in your own life and what some of the costs of that illiteracy were. 800-222-9455 is the number to join us today. That's 800-222-9455, or send an email. talk@21stshow.org is the address. We're speaking about this with Chris Johnson, social studies teacher at Rochester Middle School, just outside Springfield, Illinois. Jamie Rue is a library media specialist at Providence Englewood Charter School in Chicago. Elaine Mayman is an advisor at the American Council on Education and recently wrote an op-ed in the Chicago Sun-Times urging, or I should say a letter to the editor in the Sun-Times, urging that Illinois schools should teach media literacy to all the way down to kindergarten. And Yanti Friesen is associate professor of civic media at Columbia College Chicago. They helped write the Illinois Media Literacy Law. And Yanti, let's talk more about that law. What does it actually do?
So the law is designed have every public school, high school in the state to teach a unit. And on purpose, it's on defining a unit to, yes, it's mandating that, but at the same time gives the autonomy for the school to decide how they want to teach it, how long, how is it appropriate with their own curriculum. So they do need in their audit at the end of the year to show that they did teach a unit. So all the high school students have learned about media literacy. And the law also have it in it, the definition that is beyond just the national definition of the ability to access, analyze, create and act or reflect. It really gives the five components of how does it look like and what does it mean. And the last addition there is also about professional development that needs to happen in order to support teachers teaching about media literacy.
Elaine, what do you think of the way the Illinois law approaches this topic, this this instruction, as compared, because you've recently compared it with New Jersey, as I mentioned?
I think the Illinois law is on absolutely the right track in giving autonomy and creativity to teachers. The thing I liked about the New Jersey law is that it started very young, but I don't like the fact that it's something coming from the top down, because that will not be so meaningful as what the Illinois law is proposing. I'm also very pleased that the Illinois law has in it a faculty development section. And I think that this is a signal to universities and colleges in Illinois to immediately rethink and review their teacher education programs to make sure that media literacy is a central part, not a peripheral part of what's doing. And I would even go so far to suggest that colleges and universities should begin offering no charge seminars for in-service teachers on various ways to incorporate media literacy in what they do.
Jamie, do you find your colleagues are receptive to this idea? I mean, I often hear from teachers and other people in education that Illinois' mandates can be a lot to navigate when they're planning their lessons. How receptive have your colleagues at Providence Englewood Charter School been to the idea of integrating media literacy throughout the curriculum?
My colleagues, I feel, are like every other educator, saying, yes, it's needed, it's important, our children require this, but how? So teachers are just waiting to find out how to make this possible. And I think that the work that Yanti and Michael Spikes and the Illinois Media Literacy Coalition is doing with that organic look at how it can be integrated into what teachers already are doing. Because teachers don't want to feel, okay, now it's just one more thing we have to do. No, it's instead, this is how we can make what you already do better. So the teachers want more, but they are just waiting to figure out how and kind of waiting for the shoe to drop, say, okay, here's another book, go at it. But that's not where Illinois is coming from, thankfully.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back. We're speaking with Jamie Rue of Providence Englewood Charter School in the CPS system in Chicago, Chris Johnson, social studies teacher at Rochester Middle School, about integrating Illinois' new this school year media literacy unit of instruction that's been required by state law. That law was helped into being by Yanti Friesen, an associate professor of civic media at Columbia College Chicago, who's also with us. And we're speaking with Elaine Maiman, who is an advisor at the American Council on Education, also past president of Governor State University, who's been thinking deeply about this issue. 800-222-9455. Do you see media literacy playing out in your family, in your life? Let us know how that looks. 800-222-9455. More to come on the 21st show after a short break. Stay with us. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about Illinois' media literacy requirement. This is a new law that went into effect, or I should say a new requirement from a law that went into effect this school year. It requires students be taught about media literacy, distinguishable from information literacy, which is New Jersey's approach, which is one of the things we've been talking about this. But we are speaking with Yanti Friesen, who's with Columbia College, helped write the Illinois law, Elaine Maiman with the American Council on Education. She's an advisor there and past president at Governor State University in Illinois. Also, Jamie Rue, who is a library media specialist at the Providence Englewood Charter School in Chicago, and Chris Johnson, who teaches social studies at Rochester Middle School in Rochester, Illinois, just outside Springfield. 800-222-9455. If you want to join our conversation today, that's 800-222-9455. Elaine Maiman, I want to go big picture for a moment now, because the reason we care about media literacy is not, I mean, as much as I would love for people to consume more media and to do it well, the real reason we're doing this is because media literacy is essential to our democracy, right? Say more about that connection.
Yes, and I really want to thank Yanti for formulating this law in a way that empowers teachers, and to Chris and Jamie for the good work that they're doing, because it couldn't be more important. We're a moment in our history where we all have to be focused on protecting democracy. In my lifetime, democracy has never been under a greater threat. And the threat has to do with people believing lies. That's how autocracy gets a hold. And so this approach to making sure that we help students navigate through the torrent of information that is available with the click of a key. Never before in the history of the world has so much stuff been available. And so much of it is misleading, is lies, is something that has to be sorted through. And that's why we absolutely need educational focus on helping people to do that sorting. And so that's it's really an urgent matter right now.
Chris Johnson, Rochester is in a fairly conservative part of the state. I think Sangamon County has generally gone for Republican candidates over Democrats. And it's not to get political, but it has become sort of an article of faith on the right side of the American political spectrum to distrust the so-called mainstream media. How do you navigate that in that area when I'm imagining that a lot of your students are, you know, maybe the family has Fox News on at home and generally critical of the media and distrustful of the media? What does that look like in your classrooms?
Great question. I mean, I think one important thing to remember about media literacy is that it's about determining all of those influences on the creation and the sharing of media. It's not just one party or another, left or right. It's, you know, there's a lot more going on than just that political swing that gets a lot of press today. But, you know, I think students need to be exposed to different perspectives. They need to see how different news sources are treating the same topic. So, you know, for example, we might compare headlines from three different news sources, you know, one on one side of the spectrum, one on the other, and one towards the middle, and see, like, how does a source introduce information? You know, what are some of the language that they use? But again, it doesn't have to be political. You know, you can look at, I mean, think of how, you know, the discussion about, say, electric cars, for example, looks when you're reading an article written by Shell versus an article written by Tesla, you know? So, I mean, some of understanding this concept is taking it outside of politics and looking at just that purpose of media messages and what are some of the explicit and implicit messages that they're giving.
I want to go now to the phones at 800-222-9455. And Lauren is calling on line four. Lauren, thank you for calling in.
Oh, hello.
Hello there. I understand you're go ahead. Yeah, please.
Oh, no, just thanks for doing the show about media literacy.
So I understand you're a professor in media studies. Is that right?
Yes, yes, at the School of Communication at Illinois State University.
Do you see your students? Do they have a strong foundation in media literacy coming in?
Oh, they do. I would say it's a bit of a mixed bag, though. It's one of those things that because we're all in such a media-saturated world and they're pretty tech-savvy and media-savvy, so they already inherently have a lot of it. It's a matter of putting a framework, language, like the toolkit and the resources to activate kind of like what they already have, such as being able to find a new source, for example, but or analyze like a representation on TV or a movie. But it's still pretty limited, I would say, and that's why I'm so excited and pleased to know about the how our schools in Illinois are working towards integrating more of media literacy across the curriculum. So when they come to us, we can kind of, we don't need to start from square one, but we can get deeper into visual literacy, data, information literacy, more advanced topics, and so on.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yanti, I want to come back to you now. Say more about this idea of the freedom in the Illinois law for teachers and librarians and other school people to sort of craft this in a way that suits their area. I had asked Chris a moment ago about, you know, being in a more conservative part of the state. There are parts of the state where people bring a different set of preconceptions into the classroom, maybe. Talk about how Illinois is trying to, you know, allow people to adapt to those differences.
Yeah, thank you for asking that, because the law was created over 6 years with like support of 200 people that came in, gave ideas, rechanged, modify it. And the idea, again, it's not political. It's asking questions, as Jamie said in the beginning. It's about being critical of understanding the powers, what's the benefit of the person who is creating that message and the others who's spreading it. And then you decide for yourself, like, is that working for me or not? What is really the agenda and how does that work with me? And that's part of the difference with information literacy and media literacy that you look also at our own benefit, but also society. I'm a civic media professor, so I'm looking at, you know, democracy, freedom, our society. How does that work in this way of life that we're like in saturated media environments, and our well-being is being diminished? And how can we use technology, because there's a lot of benefits to it, but to take control, to have our own freedom. And that's part that is good for everybody. That's not by political polarization, but actually by looking at where is the message from? How does that impact me? How does that impact my surrounding, the community, the society? And where do I stand with that? And that's really the foundation of our democratic society.
Jamie, you work with younger students, not high school students. Talk about approaching the topic of media literacy with students who maybe aren't, you know, as online as others. Or I don't know, maybe the students you deal with are very online these days.
Well, being at a pre-K through eighth grade school, I really enjoy the fact that I'm able to teach the concrete. Because as far as media literacy is concerned, we started the attention for it at a collegiate level, the academic level, and now we're working backwards. So for me, still as a teacher librarian, I'm pulling out those picture books. I'm so thankful for books like hashtag Goldilocks, as well as Goodnight iPad, as well as online resources like Common Sense Media that allows me to print out a digital citizenship coloring book for my first and second graders. But we can talk about those norms online when they are, and talk about balancing online behavior and offline behavior, understanding the difference between the two and the power that they have to turn off the devices. You can turn it off, and those are messages that I give to my students very explicitly about the power that they have to close the iPad, to open up a book, or to play a game like Monopoly or card game versus a video game. It's just that basic and that simple that I think all elementary school teachers will be able to do once they get past the massive umbrella that media literacy holds above us. But if they just apply the concrete instruction, those basic questions to everything that they do, including just a picture walk of their social studies book, there's media right there. The photographs, the graphs, the images, that's information literacy. So it all dwindles down to the basics of what we need to teach our children. So it's very possible at elementary school. I love resources like Brain Pop as well, who has specific movies about media literacy. That is the title. So at an elementary school level, it could definitely happen. And I kind of wish that it had started here first and then worked its way up. But as a holder of a bachelor's degree in speech communications, which involved media literacy, analyzing film all the time, here I am and making it happen for the little ones.
Making it happen for the little ones. I love that recommendation, hashtag Goldilocks. I had not heard about that. Can you just briefly say more about that book?
Yes, hashtag Goldilocks was actually published in the United Kingdom. So there is a YouTube narration of it. I did find it on Amazon. And hashtag Goldilocks, which I love the spoofs that authors do from classic stories like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. So hashtag Goldilocks has her iPhone, and hashtag Goldilocks is setting up everyone in her home or in the environment that she's in to make mistakes and folly, and then to post it online like they meant to do that, or that's really so funny. No, it's not. Someone actually got hurt. So understanding the difference between on and offline, cyberbullying. Goldilocks was not very nice. Hashtag Goldilocks, not very nice. And we see that. We as adults see that. And even some of us participate in that mean behavior or inhumane behavior online. So that book, I love it. And as a publisher as well, a new publisher, I'm working on my own children's books to promote and teach media literacy as well.
Oh, nice. Keep us appraised of that. That sounds great. We're coming to the end of our time together. And Elaine Maiman, I want to ask you about where this idea of media literacy can go further, right? We've been talking about, we've been talking about extending it lower into the grade levels. There are perhaps generations of adults who maybe have forgotten anything they might have known about media literacy. How do we get this idea more broadly into our society?
Well, I think this radio program is the beginning. I hope you'll do more on the subject. I think that we do need to reach out, universities and colleges reaching out to alumni and providing this kind of workshop. I also just want to commend Jamie. I just am so glad you're writing children's books I'm going to look up hashtag Goldilocks right away. But one thing that we haven't talked about, and that is we need to involve children, students at all levels in making media themselves. We need to really promote radio stations at schools and colleges. We need to promote every way that students can create media. That doesn't mean they're going necessarily to become, like you, Brian, and be a moderator, but it means they're going to understand media a lot better. And that also means promoting local journalism. That's another big problem. The whole problem with the talented Mr. Santos has to do with nobody paid attention to the weekly newspaper on Long Island that was exposing him before the election. And so that's a very important point. And that also would help adults with the media literacy that we all need.
Amen. And part of a broader discussion we have been having and will continue to have on this program. Elaine Maiman, Yanti Friesen, Jamie Rue, and Chris Johnson, thank you so much for being with us today to talk about media literacy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that is all the time we have for the 21st show today. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to be talking about TikTok. Speaking of media and young people, a number of state governments have moved to ban TikTok from state devices. We've also seen universities blocking access to TikTok. The U.S. government banned it from government phones, military phones, over a number of concerns. We're going to be talking about whether Illinois state government should follow suit, plus an interview with author Jed Purdy about his book, Two Cheers for Politics, part of our ongoing series on building a better democracy. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our interns are Owen Henderson and Naya Jones. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.